Good evening.
Good evening.
And how are you wonderful people this evening?
Fabulous.
I have great news for you.
My Maserati's in.
The color you wanted, Ken.
Yes, finally. I have great news. You're completely innocent. This thing that we call the universe, this thing we call God, never holds anything against you. Has always held you in the highest of esteem. And I hope that each and every one of you will realize that you are innocent. That is up to you to do. God or the universe cannot do that for you. Only you, in your own mind, can declare that. And it is the truth. Because this thing that we call God never condemns you, always holds you in total love. So make up your mind to stop believing what you've heard throughout your life. There is no such thing as the original sin. That is made up by man, and it's made up by your own mind, and it's a way of manipulating and controlling. And God never manipulates nor controls. You have total freedom in the mind of God. With that said, I will do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what the universe, or this thing we call God, already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I am absolutely excited and delighted with myself. I have come to the conclusion that I am absolutely a wonderful human being. I am a wonderful human being because I know that I am one with the only life, the only mind, and the only energy there is in the universe. And that energy, that mind, that life is the life of God. And I am one with that life. And I have the same power. And I use that mind, that life, and that energy to bring in to this individualized life that I am leading, to bring in abundance, prosperity, and money. And I let that be so, and so it is. Last week, we talked about the thing itself. I'll recap that. The whole idea of science of mind is to make us aware that this energy, this life, this mind, this intelligence, this spirit that we talk about, that permeates everything around us, that permeates the whole universe, is not a human being. It has nothing to do with being a human being. So if you have in your mind left over from Sunday school or from some brand name church that you happen to attend, give up that idea. It's very hard to use the science of mind if you're going to think of God as a person of any type. Because if you think of God as a person of any type, you're going to give God a personality. The only personality that God has is the personality that you give it, is your personality. But God does not have a personality. If God had a personality, we would be in chaos because God would get upset. And this thing we call God does not get upset people. And in order to manifest or to demonstrate what you want in your life, you have to give up the idea that God is ever going to punish you, or that God is going to hold anything back from you whatsoever. If you are not receiving what you want, it is because you don't think you deserve it. You don't think that you're worthy, and you certainly don't think you're lovable enough to receive it. This thing that we call God shouts from every corner of the universe. And it shouts that it wants to give you everything, but you do not take it. The table is always full. You can always go to the table. But most people stay back and wait for crumbs to fall. Do not wait for crumbs to fall. You have a place at that table. Just by the mere fact that you exist, that you are here. You cannot make this statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and then think that you're not worthy to go to the table. So, in science of mind, we take that idea, which, by the way, runs through all religion. It's just interpreted differently. Most people want to make God look like them, act like them, and be like them. When it says in the Bible that we are made in the image and likeness of God, that means inwardly. God does not look like me. Although I don't think that would be a bad idea. God looks like everyone. God is everyone. God is everywhere. So we call it the thing itself because we don't know quite what it is. But we do know what it does. And what it does is give and give and give and give. I heard for years, and I heard recently, somebody say, well, you know, that's the way it is. God gives and God takes away. You usually hear that at a funeral. Nothing has been taken away. God does not take things away. God makes all things new. And if you go to a funeral and you see the body, that's all you're seeing. We are not our bodies. Our bodies are ours. We are not our mind. Our mind is ours. The life that we've had and will continue to have throughout eternity is always there. A transition has occurred. God has made all things new. God does not take away. God only gives. This is the basis of this whole philosophy. You can turn it into a religion if you wish. It was never intended to become a religion, but people started to do it religiously, so they decided to make it a religion. Come in. Do we have enough?
Oh, good. I have one right behind me.
Oh. So that's what we want to do with the thing itself. We want to see this whole thing that we call God or the universe. And remember, when I use God and the universe, they're one and the same thing. What we're trying to do is get ourselves to believe this. And to think in these terms so that we can have a wonderful, joyful life. We were brought here to enjoy ourselves, to have fun here, not to go through the suffering that so many people think that we're here for. Does anyone remember? I'm sure it was Cardinal Spelling. Spelling? Spellman, Cardinal Spellman, used to have a television program. I was up late the other night, and I turned on the TV, and there he was, in his beautiful robes, as he always had, doing the television program that he must have done in the 50s. And he was going on and on and on about Jesus, which is all well and good. I have nothing against Jesus whatsoever. I think he was an absolutely wonderful master teacher. And I believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that's been said about him. But Cardinal went on to say, there as Jesus hung on the cross with the thief on this side and the thief on that side, he proceeded to tell us what the thieves were thinking. Then he said, and then for the first time in the history of man, for the first time ever in all the world, the words were uttered. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I think that's a wonderful thing. I use it all the time, by the way, especially when I'm driving the car. But I'm saying to myself, Did somebody have a cam recorder taking this all down? We have no idea if Jesus said that. Everything that's been said about Jesus was written hundreds of years after Jesus was crucified. It's conjecture. I have nothing wrong with that, you see. I have nothing wrong with that. But what I'm asking you to do is open up your mind and don't take everything that it's sacred. If you want to do that, everything is sacred. You're sacred. And you know people say, well, you know, you have to realize that God wrote the Bible. Well, if that is so, which I can prove that it is so, then every book that was ever written, God wrote. Why? Because there is only God. There is only God. Nothing but God. So that's what you have to see about the thing itself. That there's only God. And if there's only God, then you have to be some part of God. And if you're some part of God, you have to have God-like qualities. And if you have God-like qualities, you have to be able to use them. But you have to do that. You have to sit down and say. You have to sit down and forgive yourself and stop all this nonsense. I did this in the past. You know, when I was 12, I did so-and-so and da-da-da-da. Who cares? Give it up. Give it up. You're innocent. You're always innocent of everything. So we start with that premise, the thing itself. And we, each one of us, comes to the realization that we are an individualized expression of this one mind, of this one life. Once we bring ourselves to that, we are able to manifest things in our life. We are able to make our lives what we want our lives to be. But first we have to start with that premise that God is everywhere. In unity, they say there's not a spot where God is not. So you have to remember that. You have to believe that all the time, that everything you're doing, you have to know that when you talk, when you say something to somebody, that's God talking to God. You know, not the idiot. You know, what we do. That's why I use it a lot in the car, forgive them, Father. Because they do strange things out there on the highway. Of course, in life, strange things happen. But you have to look at things differently. See, the only way you're ever going to know God is to be able to demonstrate God. And now I'll make the big one. You have to become God. Now, you will never be able to know God completely because God is infinite, and it takes all of us to do that because we're individualized expressions of God or of the energy that we're talking about. So if you can look at God as an energy coming through you, as a life coming through you, you have to realize that this life that we're living, we did not create. Does anyone know how to create life? Do you know how to keep your heart going? Do you know any of those things? So we have to give it up and say, well, there must be a power out there. There must be something bigger than I am. But I am part of that bigness. I am part of that one mind. I am part of that one energy. So after you realize this whole thing that we call God is not what you've heard perhaps all your life, then you can start to see things differently, and your life will start to change. So tonight's topic is the way it works. How does this whole thing work, this energy, this life, this intelligence, this mind? How does it work? It works through us. It's the only way it can work. Through us, through our thinking. So that when we think, we have to know that God's thinking. Because our mind is connected with the universal mind. There is no other way that can be. If you say there is only one mind, you can't say, I don't have that mind. Because there's only one mind. Now, some people are out of their minds, but that's completely different. But there is only one mind, one power, one energy. It always comes down to one. It always comes down to unity. And when we realize that we are not separated, then We can change our lives, and we can change the world itself. And that is what we're here for. You see, we're here to see that. And we're here to demonstrate God, or to manifest God, to manifest our desires, our wants, our needs. You cannot say that you live in an abundant universe and a prosperous universe and then not have abundance and prosperity. That does not make sense at all. You can look around and you can see that everywhere. You can see abundance. You can see prosperity. So look for all the abundance you can find. Instead of getting mad at the traffic on the freeway, I look at it as abundance. I say, isn't it wonderful? Look at all these cars. Where else are you going to find all these cars, all this abundance? You have to see it differently. You have to do that. So the way it works, it always works through us. And God can only do for you what God can do through you. Everyone's sitting around waiting for God to make a move. Well, that's not going to happen, people. God does not have legs. God does not have feet. God does not have arms. God's feet and arms are your feet and arms. That's why when we make the statement, treat, which means to pray, and then do something about it, move your feet. You have to move your feet, which then become the feet of God. I hope I haven't lost anybody. Everyone just very serious tonight. You have to know that this energy, this power, this life, you are one with, and it's working through you all the time. Now, we can use it in any way we want. God never says you can't do something. God always says, yes, you can do that. And we proceed to do that. But it's done with our thinking. It's done with our thinking. So many people want prosperity. They want abundance and they want money. But they have never become receptive to that. And you have to say, yes, I am open to receiving. And I have the largest container possible. But most people go to the well with a thimble. Well, yes, God will fill the thimble. And you'll say, isn't this wonderful? Look what my God has done for me. God, throw that right out. Now, that's no feat for God, you see. It gives this thing that we call God, this energy, it gives it great pleasure, by the way, to give you everything. And it wants you to ask for more and more. It wants you to ask for bigger things all the time. It doesn't want you to settle for something. That's not using the capacity of God. That's not using your own mind. That's not using yourself. It becomes sort of a waste to do that type of thing. So we use this all the time, knowing that it comes through us, through our mind. See, our mind and universal mind are one in the same. Are one in the same. When I think, God thinks. And God does not think before you think. I hear people say, what was God thinking? God only thinks when you think. or when I think. And there's a lot of thinking going on. But God does not think thoughts independently of your mind. Because it's an energy, it's a power that you are using, that you are learning to use. And you can use it in any way you want. And we use the analogy of electricity. Electricity we know is a power. And we also know that electricity is something that you can't see. But you can certainly feel it. And you can see the effects of it. A light bulb will go on because of the current going through. That is the end effect. We are the end effect. But we don't see the power that we're using. But we know the power exists because the light comes on. Then we learn about electricity and we know what it will do and what it won't do, which we say won't do. It will always do what you want it to. And you can use it for good, or you can use it for what we call bad. So you can cook your food with it, or you can electrocute somebody with it. Now, do you think that electricity is upset because it just electrocuted somebody? Do you think it mourns and carries on? No. Do you think God mourns and carries on? No. Regardless of what's going on in life, you have to realize that this thing we call God is always reclining in sweet repose. Always. It does not get upset. It only knows how to love. It only knows how to give. Nothing is held back from any of us except through our own thinking. We are free to think what we want to think. If we weren't free, then we would be puppets of God. And there would be no reason to be alive. There would be no reason to be alive. You are free to think what you want to think. So the whole idea is learn to think bigger, better things about yourself. When you think bigger, better things about yourself, you are thinking bigger, better things about God. How many times have I said, if you're not getting what you like in life, if you're not manifesting what you want, it merely means that your God is too small. You must kick that God out and get a bigger, better God. And that does not upset God, by the way. See, many people think that I'm irreverent because I say kick God out. You know, that's an impossibility. But I use that idea so that you understand that you may do that and you may get a better God. But not by running from one brand name church to the other, by the way. There is no salvation in affiliation. None whatsoever. I'd like to tell you that. Stick with us for 20 years and you'll go to heaven. I'm here to tell you that you're going to go to heaven. Regardless. Why do I know that? Well, for one thing, you're completely innocent. So I know you're going to go to heaven. The other reason why I know you're going to go to heaven, there's no such thing as hell. Hell is manufactured by humans. It's manufactured by your own mind. And you've heard it for so many years that you start to believe that. And we start to think there's up and down, up and down. You know, why can't heaven be there and hell there? Why must it be up and down? By the way, you realize that there's no such thing as up and down. If you go into space, there's no such thing as up and down. But we think that. So we have to learn to think with our own minds and change our thinking. This thing we call God never asks you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. And you can believe anything you want. So if you can believe anything you want, why don't you start to believe that you're wonderful human beings? Why don't you start to believe that abundance and prosperity are with you right here and right now? That you can achieve what you want in life. Instead of letting your mind come up with excuses, well, I wasn't good enough, I didn't read the part right, I didn't do this right, I didn't do that right. You have to come to a conclusion that you're always in the right place at the right time saying the right thing. You have to know that. You have to know that you're here tonight because you're in the right place. Every one of you who came here tonight came here to find something. Now you must open yourself to receive that. Your mind has to do that for you. And it will do that for you. If you open yourself and declare, what I need to know, I am hearing now. And it can be one thing. How many times have I told you, all I do is say the same thing over and over and over again. I just say it in a different way till it finally opens you somewhere. And then a light bulb goes off and the whole thing fits into place for you. It's mental training. It's mental training. We have to discipline that. We have to stop thinking that the world is awful. We have to stop thinking that people are awful. How many people hear the expression, well, you know how they are? That's the way it is. You're seeing? Those things exist because we make them exist. If you take the power away from that, the energy that you have, it has to shrivel and die. You know, we're always breathing life into everything. And then our mind, especially that ego part of our mind, loves to build everything up. Loves to make everything important. When you find out that everything is important, but everything is not important, your life will change. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on the outside of life. What matters is what's going on the inside of life. How are you thinking about yourself right now? This very moment. Are you in love with yourself right now? Do you totally love yourself? I think it's very sad for anyone to go through this life experience without discovering that they are lovely people, that there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with any of us. You have to bring yourself to those conclusions. You see, if we say there's a perfect God, and that God is always perfect. And then we can make the connection that God created us. Well, God created us out of itself. You see, there's God and nothing. There's nothing. God and nothing. So if God creates, God has to create out of itself. And if God creates out of itself, then the creation and the creator have to be one in the same thing. And if the creator is perfect, then we have to be perfect. And we are perfect. The seed of perfection is within each and every one of us. But we don't see that. And we don't allow that to come forth and bloom for us. Because the world tells us we can't be perfect. And the world's always going to say that. When I'm using the term world, I mean outside of this room. I mean race mind. I mean the general consensus of things. That is race mind. It will never allow you to be perfect. You have to know that you're perfect. And then you have to seek that perfection. But just knowing that that's inside of you, that you have that possibility, should excite you to no end. Should excite you to no end. It's there. And it's there to be used. So this thing has to operate through us. And because it does operate through us, we can then create what we want. Many people don't like the idea of saying, look what I created. They like to throw in, and you see this in bumper stickers, my favorites, co-creation. You co-created it with God. This is all well and good. I don't care. I'm not nitpicking that at all. But what I'm saying is, this thing that we call God does not get upset because you did not give it credit. God is far and above any of that stuff. But if you also know that all that you are is God, but you're not all that God is, then you can allow yourself to say, look what I have created. And you have created all the things that ever has come into your life. And you created everything that has come into your life through your thinking. Because this energy, this power, this spirit operates through your mind, through your spirit. So you are using it all the time, whether you know it or not. So every time you think, you are setting up a creation. Now, will that creation unfold or will it be stillborn? That is up to you. You see, once you get a wonderful idea, you have to nourish that idea. You have to bring that idea to life. And what happens, people get a wonderful idea, and then they do not nourish it enough. And it dies. But lo and behold, a year later, you see something and say, well, I thought of that. But the other person carried it through. That's another reason why we know there's only one mind, by the way. People get the same ideas. But some work on it and do something with it, and some do not work on it and do something. If you want an idea, you just ask your mind to come up with an idea. You cannot know that your mind is connected to universal mind and then say, well, I don't have any ideas. How many times do you hear that in life? You know, when I'm around a bunch of people, they want to go to dinner. Well, where do you want to go? I don't know. I can't. I said, let's go here. I make up their minds for them. You have to use your mind. You have to do it. You have to use this power, this thing itself. And the way it works is always through you. And it only works at the level that you believe that it will work at. It is up to you to move the mark. It is up to you to move the mark. And don't say, well, I've tried that before and it didn't work. Try it again and make it work. What mind can conceive, man can achieve. Grandma Moses said something. Oh, yeah. Life has always been what you make of it, and it always will be. It's you, it's me, that is making life our life. Or the life of God. You're saying, there is the next thing. You cannot go through all of this and then think that the life that you're living is not the life of God. And once you're able to know that your life is the life of God, then you can do what with that? You can get rid, first of all, of the idea of illness, of sickness of any type. You cannot say perfect God and imperfect man. You have to say perfect God, perfect man, living in a perfect universe. The universe is perfect. Sometimes the world does not hit that mark for us. But that also is up to us to make this world what we want the world to be. The world right now is what other people want it to be. And we consent to that, and we live in that, instead of taking back the power and saying, this is how I envision the world. And because I envision it this way, it must change. You see, this thing that we call God or the universe always corresponds to our thinking. It will always correspond to our thinking. It does not work independently. If it did, then there would be no sense to study science of mind or to come here and listen to me babble for an hour. It wouldn't do a bit of good. You have to realize that this thing corresponds, that we are the ones that are causing everything. That everything that's come into our life, we have brought there because of our thinking, either consciously or unconsciously. But we just have to accept that. And during our lives, we've accepted quite a few things that aren't true. But when you hear the truth, it seems to become difficult for people. You know, this is a very simplistic teaching. It was meant to be simplistic. All master teachers were simplistic. They never got complicated and difficult. This teaching boils down to the whole idea that it is always done unto you as you believe, not as I believe, but as you believe. You see, these are my ideas, and they're great and wonderful and marvelous ideas. But you must have your own idea, and you are free, I always say, to take anything I say and make it your own. Make it your own. Don't go out of here saying Dallas said such and such. Go out of here, change it, make it personal to you, and then tell somebody, well, this is what I think. Because it doesn't do you a bit of good, or somebody else a bit of good, to say, well, Dallas thinks this way. You have to learn to think it for yourself.
Once you started thinking in this way, and you begin talking and behaving in this way, and you encounter argument and resistance from other people, what's the best course of action? Do you withdraw and send good treatments to them in absentia, or do you confront? Or
I never confront anyone. I say, thank you very much. I'm glad I don't live in your universe. And then I love, bless, and release them and go on my way. I have no time to argue with people. Arguing with people to make me right. I don't care to be right. I don't have to be right. I left that go years ago. You see. So I don't care. Now, if they want to stay and listen, that's fine. You see. Did that young lady leave, or is she around the corner there? She left. I know she left. Well, I can see her getting ready to leave because I hit several things that made her feel uncomfortable. Which is all well and good. I'm going to make people feel uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with feeling uncomfortable, by the way. You may learn something from that discomfort. But at least it'll get you thinking what's going on in your life. And how you are thinking. And how to make... This whole teaching is simplistic. All it ever wants to do, God in this teaching, is make your life wonderful for you. It's make your life wonderful for you. You see, there's too much insanity going on in this world. And we look at all that insanity, and since there's so much of that insanity going on, we say, oh, that's normal. And we accept it. We accept all these people flying off the handle. We accept people hitting each other. We accept all this stuff. And we say, oh, that's human. That's the way it is. It's not that way at all. Don't let the ego take over. When you want to confront somebody and so forth, that's the ego wants to beat the shit out of them. You know.
You got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that. Because I don't have problems. What do I have?
Solutions.
I always have solutions. You see, if you're suffering for more than 3 minutes, or you have a problem for more than 3 minutes, there's something wrong with you. Because if you can't solve it, somebody can. So you call that person and you say, can you help me with this? just make sure you call the right person. You say, therein lies the secret. Call the right person. And what do most people do? They call the wrong person who sides with them. Tell you a story. I like to tell stories. I have a friend. She lives in, she was someplace. She travels a great deal. Moves around. She believes she's a free spirit. She believes that God is always with her. She's always asking God what she should do. Should she move here? Should she do this? Should she do that? It's also a cat, something or other. So, she recently moved from somewhere up north, I don't know where, to the San Ynez Valley. She rented a little apartment there. And in the meantime, during all this, now this has been going on for 5-6 years, this moving. Every time she does, she has less and less to move. So now this time she only moved with an air mattress. But the air mattress, the air went out of the air mattress. So she had to sleep on the floor. Then her cat got sick. And she had to take it to the veterinarians. And this happened and that happened. So she calls me and she says to me, what is God doing? I said, well, God's not doing anything. She said, what do you mean? My cat's sick and this happened. I had to lay on the hardwood floor and I had to do this and that and the other thing. And she said, I'm going to buy a mattress, a $1,500 mattress. But, oh, in the meantime, because of that, the cat was sick and she was laying on the floor in the new apartment. She rented a hotel room, motel room or something, that took cats and that she could be on the bed. And it was a king-size bed. She had a television and all this, that, and the other thing. And she's moaning to me. What's going on? Why is this happening to me? Poor me. I said, what's happening to you? I said, I think it's wonderful. I said, you have a bed to sleep in tonight, don't you? You had money to buy a new mattress. You could take your cat to the veterinarians. I said, you don't have any. God's not doing this to you. I said, you're doing it to yourself. Now figure out why you're doing this and stop doing it. She said, oh, yeah, well, maybe I did do it. And then she goes, she called. She wanted me to back up her story of how bad everything was. I don't back up bad stories. I don't back up bad stories, you see. And I don't allow somebody to say, what is God doing to me? The only thing God is doing to you is loving you. Loving you so much that you cannot understand that. It's beyond our human understanding. But you have to believe that. You have to bring yourself to that point in consciousness where you totally believe that this thing that we call God loves you and loves you so much that it is always doing good for you, that it is always going to take care of you. You must also bring yourself to realize that you're living in a friendly universe, a user-friendly universe. There is nothing in this universe that is out to get you. Nothing. So bring yourself to that. Don't try hard. Don't read more. Believe more. Believe more in yourself. Believe more in this power. Believe more in the law of cause and effect. You believe in gravity, and you cannot see gravity, but you believe it. You see the effect of gravity because it holds us to the earth. But you'll never see it. and you'll never see God. But you have to know that God is there, that God exists, and that God wants to do only good things for you. And that God never, never, ever punishes you or sends you these lessons. I hear so many people, they get sick, and they think God sent that sickness on them to teach them something. What the hell do you think it would teach you? Nothing. Don't go through life that way. Pick a different way to go through life. A wonderful way to go through life. I have some cards. I always have cards. The realization that good is universal, and that as much good as any individual is able to incorporate in his life is his to use, is what constitutes the science of mind or the science of spirit. We call it the science of mind. Mind and spirit are one in the same thing. Do you want me to reread that?
Yes, sir.
The realization that good is universal, and that as much good as any individual is able to incorporate in his life is his to use, is what constitutes the science of mind or spirit. See, it's up to us to use this, to get that bigger container. Our belief sets the limits to our demonstration of principle, which of itself is without limit. The word principle here is interchangeable with God. That's an Ernest Tone term. He changes that around. Principle here is God. So I'll read it with God. Our belief sets the limits to our demonstration of a principle or of God, which of itself is without limit. You have to realize that this infinite thing, this thing that we call God, is without limit. The only limit that it ever has is the limit that you put on it with your own thinking, with your own mind. Because we were taught that we can only go so far. We can only do so much. And how many people all their life have heard, we only use 1/10 of our mind? Well, why do we have the rest of it? Why don't we open up to the rest of our mind? You open up to the rest of your mind by knowing that you're connected with the universal mind, that your mind and the universal mind are one and the same mind. And you give up that idea that I'm only using 10%, and you tell your mind, get busy here, let's move back, let's get more done here, and let's get the right and left working together. In your imagination, build a bridge and walk back and forth across that bridge so that the left and right are thinking in unison with each other, are helping each other out. We are bound because we are first free. The power which appears to bind us is the only power in the universe which can free us. If you're not feeling that, it's because you're using your mind incorrectly. Rhoda loves the saying, and it's a Rumi saying. Everyone know who Rumi is? Rumi was a Sufi, a mystic, who lived in the 13th century. And Rumi said, "Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open?" Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? This wonderful thing that we call God, this wonderful thing that we call the universe, is in each and every one of us, individualized. And the power is running through us. And we can use that power to bring into our life anything that we wish. You have to know that. You have to believe that. And it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.